Take your Bibles now, if you will. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 16 as our text verses. And I believe this, that if we could get every part of this local church body functioning as it should, then we could make an impact as we should on our community, on our city, and on the world. And I believe that God has called us to do that. And we're going to ask you today to think about unwrapping your gift. You see these gifts up here. I asked Brother Rigsby what was in it for me, and he said nothing. I said, well, they're pretty anyway, but you get the idea. We want to unwrap our gifts. Some of you still have them wrapped up. Some of you have unwrapped them. Some of you still have some more you hadn't unwrapped, even though you might have unwrapped one. And you'll understand as we go along what I'm speaking of. But in Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. They go together. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And notice these verses, or this verse, verse 16, what he's saying in it, so clear and important. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What he's basically saying here is that we are all, if we're saved, part of the body of Christ, and particularly part of the visible body of Christ, the local New Testament church. You are a body part of this local New Testament church. And the idea that God gives us is that we are to be saved and let him be the Lord of our life, and that will result in our ministering. Ministering. That's a good word. Our serving. Our using our gifts for the Lord. A gift is a spiritual endowment, or spiritual endowments that God has given you as an individual. And so if we want a healthy church, all the body parts need to be working. By the way, the church is not an organization as such. It is an organism. There's a difference. And let me just give you some ideas of what would be different and see if you think you're participating in an organization or if you're participating in an organism. In an organization, membership is very much like belonging to a club. You just sort of belong to that club. In an organism, you are disciples and members of the body of Jesus Christ in that local assembly. In an organization, many people are simply spectators. They sit, they soak, and they sour. They are spectators. In other words, they are spiritual couch potatoes. But in an organism, they are participants and co-laborers. In other words, they are partners who sit, soak, but then they get up and serve God. They get up and do something for God. We're living in the day when we have this consumerism mentality. And so we have the organization, consumerism says, I'm here to be served and to get what I can, What are you going to do for me? And that's the general attitude of so many church members around the world today. But in an organism, a living organism, ministry is service to help others. It is believers that grow that they may labor with others and help other people out, both in the church and outside of the church. It's an organism, not what can you do for me. We have the clergy-laity differentiation that has gotten very popular in our churches today. And that says the clergy, we're laymen, you're the clergy, we pay you, you do the work. We pay you, you and the staff do the work. The minister is to serve. And of course the minister is to serve. But that's not the only thing. But when you know that you're part of a living organism, every believer is a ministering priest and person. Everybody in the body, the local visible body of Christ, is to be a visible person ministering and having a priesthood or a work, a ministry to the glory of God. In an organization, there's self-centered godliness. It makes a person very satisfied and they are very comfortable in their religion and they're using God sort of like a genie. When I need you, I'll come and pray and ask for help. And meanwhile, don't bother me. I'm very comfortable where I am, what I'm doing. I just like doing that. But when you're part of an organism, you realize it is God-centered and other-centered. It is not individual-centered on you. And so we have that difficulty. Now go back to this mentality of the clergy and the laity. And I want to quote a man that Mr. Bill Hull, who is author of the book, The Disciple Making Pastor. That's one of my jobs, is to try to make you disciples. People who serve the Lord. And that's an important thing. And I quote him, he says, "The evangelical church has become weak, flabby, and too dependent on artificial means that can only simulate real spiritual power. Churches are too little like training centers to shape up the saints and too much like cardiopulmonary wards at the local hospital. We have proliferated self-indulgent consumer religion, the what can the church do for me syndrome. We're too easily satisfied with conventional success, bodies, bucks, and buildings." He's absolutely right. I continue to quote him. "What obvious truth causes the saints to squirm? Simply this. The church exists for mission. The church lives by mission as fire exists by oxygen. The church does not exist for itself. This collides head on with self-indulgent, ego-driven psychobabble mentality that dominates evangelicalism today, and I might add fundamentalism too. You go out and look at the best-selling Christian books," he says, "listen to the television evangelists, talk to the average parishioner or member, we would say the common thread is preoccupation with felt needs. The preoccupation and prioritizing of felt needs over Christ's commanded activity must stop." And I'm quoting him. He has some insight. You see, the church is a body. We are the visible body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The local church is visible, it is organic, and it should be a functioning body with every part of that body functioning. Think about it as a car. You have all of those different parts in your automobile. Which one do you want not to function on your way home? The brakes? The transmission? You want what? We want it to function. You want the computer to go out? Not at all. It takes all of those things working together to get you in that car, to get that car on the road, so that car will do what that car is supposed to do. It's the same in a local New Testament church. Our church is never going to do what it should do until all the car parts get busy functioning and getting involved and doing what they should do. Open up your gift. Now, let me give you quickly some principles of the gifts. The Greek word gift is charisma. Charisma. The charismatics say they have all the gifts. They call themselves charismatics. That's where they get that idea. So we have the word charisma, which means it is a gift of grace. It is a gift that God has given you. It is a free gift. It is not something that you have earned. It is not something that you have prayed down and asked God to give you. It is not something that you have in some measure been able to get by your own merit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, Holy Spirit. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. God has decided by his Spirit to give you gifts. There's a difference in a talent and a gift. Anybody can have a talent, they can be unsaved. But a gift is something that is set apart to the glory of God that God has given you to use for his glory. It is a gift. Gifts are not based on education. Gifts are not based on wealth. Gifts are not based on your looks. Gifts are not based on any of that. Gifts are based on what God has given you. And he's given all of us a gift. As a matter of fact, new converts can use their gifts immediately for the glory of God. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be a mature Christian to have gifts. You have to get busy using your gifts for the glory of God. Also, all believers have at least one gift. You say, well, that leaves me, I don't have any gifts. Oh, the Bible says you have at least one. Listen to God. 1 Corinthians 12:11, again. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. That tells us that the Spirit of God has given you a gift. And there are other verses that back that up. All believers have at least one gift that they should be using for the glory of God. And we have to remember that our gifts are viewed as a stewardship from God. In other words, if you have a gift, and everybody has one, you are responsible to God to use that gift for the glory of God. It's called a stewardship. A stewardship. And all believers are responsible. Listen to what Peter says, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Now listen to how he qualifies this. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, or the gift that God has given you. We have gifts, and we are to be good stewards of what God has given us, using them for his glory. It is a stewardship. The word good here is the Greek word kalos, which means noble and useful. Good stewards. Noble stewards, useful stewards. The word steward is oikonomos, and we get our word economy. It has to do with somebody who is overseeing finances and taking care of finances. And so we have that stewardship of our gift, a gift entrusted to us, and we are responsible to God to use that gift or gifts and manage those gifts for his glory. We are responsible for our gifts. We know the parable of the steward in Luke chapter 12. And he thought that the master wasn't going to come back. And he started beating the rest of those that were under his authority. But guess what? The master did come back. And he had to give an account of his stewardship. And he was punished by the master when he came back, because he had violated the principle of using his stewardship correctly, because he felt like, I don't think he's coming back. I don't know if he'll ever come back. Friend, let me tell you, Jesus is coming back. And we know that, and we're going to give an account for our stewardship. Gifts are given not to glorify self. That's what's wrong with the vast majority of the charismatic movement. Most of those gifts are given to sort of glorify the person. And we're not dealing today with all of those things, but I'm telling you that the gifts that God gives us are not to serve ourselves, but always to serve others. To serve other people. Again, 1 Peter 4:10, he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister. That word minister means what it means. Minister. Be a servant to the same one to another. Be servants one to another as good stewards of all of his blessings. And so we have a stewardship, and we're responsible for it, and we should use that stewardship for other people. Now, there are two categories, at least, of stewardship. Let me go through these very quickly so you'll understand exactly what we're talking about. You have the speaking gifts, and you have the serving gifts. Some have both, but basically in two categories. Again, in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a powerful verse that is. And he mentions here speaking gifts. They are those who have the ability to teach and exhort. And we have them in our Sunday schools. We have them that stand publicly and speak and exhort. They are gifted teachers, gifted speakers, and God gives them those gifts to be used for His glory. And then you have the serving gifts, such as mercy, helps, administration, many of these other things. One of the gifts is giving. That is a serving gift. To whom much is given, much is expected. Everybody ought to give. Everybody ought to tithe. Every person ought to give above their tithe, an offering to God by faith. The tithe is commanded. But above that, there are some who just have a way of making a lot of money. And you're blessed with a lot of money. One of your gifts should be to give a lot of that lot of money to the work of God. And I'm telling you, people that I know who are millionaires or near millionaires who put God first and really use a great abundance of what they have for the glory of God, God just keeps blessing them, keeps blessing them, and keeps blessing them. So you have these gifts, the speaking and serving gifts. And he tells us here, if you're going to speak the word of God, you've got to do it by the oracles of God. In other words, you don't speak your opinion or your ideas. You speak, thus saith the Lord. A good teacher is going to be able to back up what he says by chapter and verse somewhere in the Bible. Otherwise, they're not gifted teachers. He says, as the oracles of God. And then they're to serve in the strength of the Lord, which he supplies, which he tells us in the latter part of that verse. And notice who the glory belongs to. That God, not you, not me, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's to get the glory. Whatever gift you have, he gave it to you. He expects you to use it and give him the glory for it. Don't think you're so great because you have a gift of gifts. Give God the glory for those gifts. The glory belongs to God. There are some characteristics of a steward. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a steward be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Paul said, I don't even know if I'm doing a good job or not, but I'm not going to worry about what you think about it. I'm only going to worry about what God thinks about it. So there are three things he mentions here. Ministers are servants. We're to be servants. Faithfulness. If you're going to be a steward and you're going to use your gift, use it faithfully for the glory of God. Don't be dropping out all the time. And then God's opinion is the only one that really matters. Paul said, I'm not doing it for anybody else, for the glory from anybody else, or whether anybody else questions my motive. I'm doing it for God. I'm using my gift or gifts for the glory of God. Now again, some of those gifts are temporary. The gift of prophecy was temporary. The gift of tongues was temporary. The gift of healing was temporary. Now don't misunderstand. God can heal. But the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it's the prayer of faith that heals the sick. You don't need me to put my hands on you to heal you. Now, if somebody wants to call for the leadership of the church and wants us to anoint them with olive oil on their forehead and have us come and pray for them, we'll do that. It's in the Bible. We don't mind doing that. It's not commanded. It's not an ordinance of the church. But it's the prayer of faith that ultimately heals the sick. We do not need divine healers. Most of the divine healers are getting rich off of people's foolishness. We no longer, a temporary gift was apostles. Read in the first few chapters of Acts, and you'll find out that an apostle had to have been one who was an eyewitness to the resurrected Jesus Christ or the living Jesus Christ in his ministry. Miracles, the same thing. Discernment of spirits, the same thing. But there are some permanent gifts. Prophesying is a permanent gift. That's what I'm doing today. I'm just preaching the Word of God. I'm not adding to or taking away and giving you some new insight and prophecy like Joseph Smith or some of the rest. I'm telling you this is the Word of God right here. And I'm just prophesying what's here. Teaching is the same. Sunday school teachers and people who have those positions, evangelists who go out, they're calling. There is an office of an evangelist who goes out and preaches and goes from place to place, and he can stir up the saints and leave and not worry about it. We have to soft pedal a little bit. No, we really don't. But an evangelist has a very special and high calling to go out and do that kind of work. And then there's the pastor teacher. That's what every local church needs is a pastor teacher. And then people who are ministering, people who are given the exhortation, showing mercy, people who give, as I've already mentioned, people who are good at administration. I don't know what your gift is. You probably know. What do you like to do? What are you good at doing? If you can't sing, don't feel God's called you to be a soloist. But if you can sing, you ought to be singing and using your gift in the choir or singing solos or in a group or whatever it is. Get busy unwrapping your gift, and if you close it back up, open it back up. Get back in your place where you belong. Unwrap your gift. People say, "Preacher, what can I do?" Well, the Bible answers that. There's so many different things that we can do. The Bible gives us what we can do. And we need to just discover that gift, those gifts, develop those gifts, and by faith step out and start using those gifts. And with prayer and hard work that go together, you get busy with your gift and God will use it to His honor and to His glory. And the local body will be strengthened. We'll be able to be all that we want to be and all we should be. Everybody doing what they should do faithfully as good stewards, using your gift or gifts for the glory of God. Discover, develop, and surrender it to Him. And let me tell you today that you are important to God. Everybody here can do a job. Matthew, have him stand up. Stand up, Matthew. I want all of you to look back at Matthew. Now, Matthew brings me my microphone every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. He comes, gets it, knocks on my door. Sometimes he doesn't knock. He comes in and gives me that microphone and hands it to me, and he's just as proud as he could be to give it to me. Now, what's your excuse, friend? That's important. What Matthew does is important. Thank you, Matthew. And he does some other things, too. But everybody has a gift that can be used for the glory of God, or more than one gift. And you are part of the body of Christ, the visible local New Testament church, if you're saved. You're part of a organic, living body where you should not sit and be a couch potato and a spectator, but you should get up and get involved with whatever you have, wherever you can, to do something for the glory of God. And if you can't think of a ministry we have that meets your need, then whatever it is you're thinking about, let's start it. And you tell me about it and we'll start it. We got lots of money. We're ready to spend it everywhere. No. We'll do what we can. We'll start it. and let you function for the glory of God. And you are gifted for ministry. Not to just sit and soak, but for ministry. To serve the living God. I'm telling you, the religious crowd is more dedicated to their false gods than Christians are to the living God. How sad that is. And if we'll combine all of our gifts in this local New Testament church and unwrap them and use them, we'll make a more than just a little dent in this church, in this community, and in our city. I believe there's so much we can do, and we can reach so many more people with the gospel. And the more people that get saved, the more get baptized, come into a local New Testament church, the more givers we have, the more we can give to missions, the more missionaries we can help, the more missionaries preaching around the world, the more souls get saved around the world and at home through team evangelism and soul winning, then we can make a difference in our community, in our city. We really can, but we've got to understand that all of us are part of a living organism, and we can't hide in a corner somewhere. Even if you have physical problems, there's still something you can do. And we can find you something to do. So when I look at the church, I see a body. I see people who are serving, people who cook meals. The Baptist theme song, God be with you till we eat again. We eat a lot, don't we? But we enjoy the fellowship. The Greek word is calories. Not really, but we enjoy sitting down and eating. The fellowship. Somebody making coffee. Somebody cleaning the church. Amen? They are those who have the gift of encouragement. They just use that gift. People who just lift others up. Some think they've been called to drag others down. That's not a gift, friend. That's carnality. Then there's prayer. What a prayer. Everybody can have a prayer ministry. And pray. Teaching. You can teach. Singing. All of those. I've mentioned most of them. Leadership, administration, mercy, and giving. All of this. Let me illustrate very quickly for you some of those different gifts. Let's say somebody spilled a whole plate of food on the floor. Somebody might come up to them who is an encourager and say, don't worry about it. It's not that important. It didn't cost that much money. And I don't want you to feel bad about that. Somebody else who has the gift of helps will say, I'll be right back. I'm going after a mop and a bucket. And I'll be right back and I'll mop that up. Somebody else might be an instructor or a teacher or something, and they would come and say, now, I don't mean anything bad by this, but let me just tell you, here's what went wrong, and next time, if you watch the edge of that carpet there and step over it instead of getting your toe on it and flipping you, if you'll just be a little more observant, then you wouldn't spill that food. And on and on and on, you can see how people can help people and have a ministry to do something. All of us are gifted or have gifts by God to do that. So unwrap your gift and start functioning as a part of the body of Christ for the glory of God. Don't do it for me, do it for Jesus. You may not like me, do it for Jesus. You love him, don't you? That was a weak yes. Weak amen. That's a rhetorical question. You love Jesus, don't you? Amen. I know you do. But we need to do it for him. So when we do, we'll have a healthy church. I believe all of us should want to have a healthy church. You want to have a healthy body, don't you? Don't you want your gizzard to be working today? Amen. Your liver, your lungs, your heart. If that heart stops, you're in trouble. My friend, let me tell you, we need to be involved and alive in a living organism. That is the local New Testament church. And we as a church body need to carry out the command, the commission of Almighty God. And the only way we're going to do that is if everybody will unwrap their gift. God commands us to do that. Now how, preacher, can I become part of this organism? One way, and you know what I'm going to say, you that are saved, that's through being born again. No matter how religious you get or anything else, you're not part of the organism until you first get saved. You trust Christ, the Spirit of God baptizes you, puts you into the body of Christ. You come into the local New Testament church. You're made part of the visible body of Christ. And you are baptized by biblical baptism, immersion, according to the Bible, after being saved, and come into the local New Testament church and get busy serving God. I believe He's worth it. I believe everybody in this church, really deep down in your heart, want to serve God. I've been here for 14 years. Some of you started out pretty on fire, but I've watched you change your attitude, change your involvement for whatever reasons. Sometimes it's providential, I understand that, but I'm just saying there's something that each one of us can do. And I want it to be a positive, not a negative message. I'm encouraging you, get out there, find out what it is, do it. Next Sunday night, we're going to have all the ministries that are going to be displayed over in the gym. Some probably won't even go over there, but I wish you would. I wish you'd be back. I wish you'd go over there and check out the ministries we have and some new ones we want to have if we have the personnel to have them. And we'll talk to you about it. And we can function as a body, alive and well and healthy, doing what God has told us to do. Let's stand, please. We'll bow our heads, and God has spoken to your heart. Whatever way He's spoken to your heart, the altar is open to you. Maybe you just need a little more new commitment. I don't know what it is, but God knows, you know. And I want to ask you, have you opened your gift? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to unwrap your gift? If so, come up here and tell the Lord about it. Just kneel. Some of you have never been to an altar, never been to an altar, maybe even since you got saved. Just come and talk to God and say, God, I'll let you have whatever I am, whatever gifts I have. I'm here. Maybe some of you are using just part of your gifts, and you know you could be doing something else. I don't want you to get so overextended you neglect your family, and there has to be a balance in all of that. But friend, some of us are nowhere close to that. There's so much we could do. And keep doing it. It is required of a steward that he or she be found faithful. God bless in the invitation. Have your will now. If there's somebody here without Christ, help them to realize they're not even part of the church that He's coming for when it's completed someday. They have to be saved to be part of that body that He's going to take out of here. God, may You speak to hearts. Help us to be willing to give You our best, to give You what You've already given us as a gift, the gifts that You've placed in our responsibility, in our stewardship. In Jesus' name, amen.